this is not my first sermon, just my first sermon for a congregation. So it's not going to be the best sermon you've ever heard, but hopefully it's not the worst. But one reason why I'm pretty confident that it's not going to be the worst sermon you've ever heard is that I had time to prepare. You could consider this kind of like a test, and I had time to study for it and practice. But in life, we get more things that are more like pop quizzes than we get tests. And at Moody, when I get a test, it's fine, because I have time to prepare, I have time to study, and I'm not too worried about it. But pop quizzes are terrifying, because pop quizzes just come up, and if you haven't studied for them, you're going to fail. But like I said, in life, you get a lot more pop quizzes than you do tests. And how we handle those pop quizzes really show us how we handle the Word. And as Greg told us last week, how we respond to trials and temptations shows the degree that Christ is formed in us. So if we go back and remember Greg's first two sermons on James, James is very much a book about tests. It's a book about the different tests that you get as you go about life. And he says, James says, the testing of our faith produces perseverance. And that's really the heart of James here. He just shows different tests and the faithful Christian response. So when you go through James, that's what you want to look for. You want to look for the test he's giving you, and you want to look for the response he's telling you to give. So we're going to begin with the first section. My brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. Suppose a man comes into your meeting wearing a gold ring and fine clothes, and a poor man in filthy old clothes comes in. If you show special attention to the man wearing fine clothes and say, "Here's a good seat for you," but say to the poor man, "Sit here by my feet," have you not discriminated among yourselves and become judges with evil thoughts? So at first, the test here doesn't seem too hard, you know, just when a guy comes into your meeting, like, treat him the same. But that word meeting kind of expands this test a little bit, because that word meeting in the Greek is actually synagogue. And so a lot of interpreters believe what James meant here with synagogue was worship. If someone comes into your worship, but that's something we get all the time, because that's what we're here right now doing. This is our synagogue. So if some guest comes in and we treat them different than our friends, or if we treat them different than some of our honored guests we get here sometimes, are we not discriminating among ourselves? Are we not discriminating among our guests? So James expands that test and makes it a little bit more difficult for us. But he also shows us the faithful Christian response. As he continues, he expands it a little bit more. Listen, my dear brothers and sisters, has not God chosen those who are poor in the eyes of the world to be rich in faith and to inherit the kingdom he promised those who love him? But you have dishonored the poor. Is it not the rich who are exploiting you? Are they not the ones who are dragging you into court? Are they not the ones who are blaspheming the noble name of him to whom you belong? So as James begun, he began with, my brothers and sisters, believers in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ must not show favoritism. And when he begins that way, he's really making it clear that those two things don't belong together. Favoritism and belief in our glorious Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what he's saying as he continues here. He's not saying that it's necessarily sinful to be rich and that those who are poor are necessarily better in faith. But there was another guy that said a lot about money and a lot about being rich, and that was Christ. Christ said it is easier for us, for the poor, to have faith. He said it's easier for the camel to go through the eye of a needle than for someone who is rich to enter the kingdom of God. And he also said you cannot serve both God and money. But why is that? Why is it easier to have faith when you're poor and harder when you're rich? Well, it's because when you're poor, you don't have that security blanket of money. It's a lot easier to trust God if you don't have anything else to trust. You don't have anything else to fall back on. You have to rely on God all the more. If you go back to the beginning of James, He says, consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. For you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. Well, as he's laying it out here, being poor is a trial. But James tells us when we go through trials to consider it pure joy. So while it might not be easy to be poor, while it might be easier to be rich, we have to consider it pure joy when we go through these trials, when we go through these hard times. And we have to treat those that are going through this hard time all the more. Because if we're showing favoritism to those who are rich, what are we really doing? When we show favoritism to those who have money versus those who have faith, we're showing that's what we value. We're showing that we value their money more than we value the other person's faith. And that's just wrong. So the test here isn't just how we value our money. It's how we value our relationship with God. And the faithful Christian response to that is trusting God with our money. So finally, James is going to expand this test. It's not just going to be how you treat people. It's not just going to be how you treat money. But it's going to be how you treat all of the law in Scripture. If you really keep the royal law found in Scripture, love your neighbor as yourself, you are doing right. But if you show favoritism, you sin and are convicted by the law as lawbreakers. For whoever keeps the whole law and yet stumbles at just one point is guilty of breaking all of it. For he who said, "You shall not commit adultery," also said, "You shall not murder." If you do not commit adultery, but do commit murder, you have become a lawbreaker. Speak and act as those who are going to be judged by the law that gives freedom, because judgment without mercy will be shown to anyone who has not been merciful. Mercy triumphs over judgment. So as James continues here, he says, the royal law, love your neighbor as yourself. And I'm pretty sure you all remember where you've heard that one before. You've heard it from Christ, who said, love your neighbor as yourself. And that, along with love your God with all your heart and all your soul and all your mind, those are the two greatest commandments. And as Paul tells us in Romans 13, 8 through 10, whoever fulfills this law has fulfilled the whole law. As he says, let no debt remain outstanding except the continuing debt to love one another. For whoever loves others has fulfilled the law. The commandments, you shall not commit adultery, you shall not murder, you shall not steal, you shall not covet. And whatever other command there is may be summed up in this one command, love your neighbor as yourself. Love does not harm to a neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfillment of the law. And that's what James is getting at here. James is saying that if you love your neighbor, if you love others, if you don't show favoritism, then you really are keeping the whole law. But if you break it at just one point, you're guilty of breaking all of it. So it's not just showing favoritism with people. It's not just showing favoritism with money. James is getting at showing favoritism in the law. As we go about our walk in the Christian faith, there's parts that aren't too hard for us. You know, maybe there's parts that, you know, I can do that, God. But then there's other parts that are a little more difficult. So maybe it's easy for us to pray every day, but it's really hard for us to commit our time to God, to commit our time to reading His Word. But just because it's easier for us to pray every day, we can't say, oh God, I'll just pray twice as much to make up for the fact that I'm not giving you any of my time. Or, God, I'll give you all my time, but let me keep my money. No, that's what James is saying here. That's just as wrong. Because if we show favoritism in the law, if we're keeping one command over another, aren't we showing that other command, that we're not trusting God in it? If we really believe in God, if we really believe that He's all we need, then why are we showing favoritism in His very law? And if there's an area that we struggle in, that's probably the area we need to focus more, because that's exposing our sin. But you might be saying to me at this point, okay, Ben, That's a lot. Like you just said, if I break one law, that's like breaking all of it. And as much as I might try, like, I'm gonna screw up. And I say exactly. That shows how much we need Christ. Because as James tells us, follow the law that gives freedom. The law of Christ. Christ is our freedom. Belief in Christ gives us freedom from our sin. We deserve that judgment. As he says, mercy or judgment without mercy will be shown to all. But Christ frees us from that judgment. Christ frees us from our sin. We are no longer chained to the bounds of our sin when we follow Christ. So as James has laid it out for us here, he gives us three tests that expand here. He shows us not to show favoritism with people. He shows us not to show favoritism with money. And he shows not to show favoritism in how we follow the Lord. But how do we do this? How do we live out our lives in this way? Well, as Greg told us, how we respond to these tests that we get shows the degree that Christ is formed in us. So throughout Scripture, you have all these answers to these tests, but it might not give you all the tests verbatim. So the first thing you have to do in life is you have to look out for the tests. As I mentioned earlier, we have to not show favoritism with the guests we have in our church. But how are you going to know, how are you not going to show favoritism if you don't even realize you have a guest? You have to look out for that. I know this church has a loving heart, but when we have guests, we have to treat them as honored guests, no matter who they are. And if we're not looking out for them, we might not even realize they're there. And I know I'm really bad at this, because like, I'm really bad with names and faces. So sometimes if someone like looks new, but I'm not really sure if they're new, I just kind of go talk to people I know. And that's much easier. Like, I'm the youth minister here, so I can go talk to the youth and it looks like I'm doing my job. But I'm showing favoritism. I'm showing that it's easier for me to hang out with the youth in this church than it is for me to greet someone who's a guest. And who knows, maybe that guest has like three teenagers and they're just waiting to come to this church. But I'm not really doing my job because I'm showing favoritism. If you have a friend who's struggling, how are you going to know they're struggling if you don't ask? And if you do know they're struggling, how can you help them out if you don't ask them what they need? If you don't ask them if they need help? But we also have to know how to respond to those tests. And like I said, God's word has the answers. If we continue to read every day in Scripture, we will get the answers to those pop quizzes. So when they come, we've already studied for them, and we have the answers. But some of you might be saying, Ben, Scripture is really complicated sometimes. Like, sometimes I just don't understand it. I'm going to give you a tip, and this is probably the most important thing I've learned at Moody. And so maybe you guys don't even have to go to Moody after I share you this tip. The best thing for unlocking Scripture is the one who wrote it. If you're struggling, and even if you're not struggling to understand a part in Scripture, pray. Pray to God, because He will show you the answers. As it said earlier in James, if any of you lacks wisdom, let them ask God, who gives generously to all. So if you're struggling to understand what God wants with you, what God wants in one of your tests, in one of your trials, just ask God. He's sitting there waiting to give you the answer. But don't just pray and ask God for the answers. You can pray to God for anything. And that's one way to always know the correct response, is if we're praying continuously, as it tells us to do in Scripture, it'll be so much easier to ask God. It'll be so much easier if we have that relationship with Him. And how do we do this as a church? How do we respond to our trials as a church? How do we not show favoritism? Well, the first one I already laid out for you. Look out for guests. Look out for the guests in this church and greet them. Say hi to them. I know this church is so loving, so it'd just be so amazing if every time we get a guest, they're just swarmed with people, even though some people might not like that. Treat your money as if it's God's money. I know we already had the offering plate, but that is one of the best ways to show God that you trust him, to show God that you believe that it's his money, that you know it's his money, and you trust that he will do with it as he pleases. And finally, look out for the marginalized. There's so many ways to get involved in this church. I'm going to list three right here, but there's so many more in this church that you can look out for people who are poor. We have programs like Feed My Starving Children, where you can donate to, but you can also donate your time to them. You can go and spend an afternoon filling bags of food. We have a Just Harvest, where you can one-on-one serve the people who cannot afford to eat. And finally, we have World Relief with our Good Neighbor teams. So as you continue about your life, and as you continue to dive into James with us, I want you to look out for these tests. I want you to look out for these tests in James, but I want you to look out for them in your life and spot them. And when you spot those tests, continue to read God's word and pray to him so you know the faithful response that Christians should give when we have those tests. So let me pray for us.